Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. It's the final day of April, believe it or not, already, huh? 2013. We are live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice and among the news talk stations here in town, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station with great reach. We are live streaming the program at BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com, and we podcast the program to three different sites, BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. And we thank the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun at GVNews.com, where they have our Buckmaster Show prominently displayed on their homepage, also on the homepage of Blog for Arizona at blogforarizona.com. We try to make it as easy as possible for you, the listener, to find us and then to listen to the program at your convenience. We'll get things moving down the tracks this Tuesday afternoon. We'll begin with a newsmaker interview with Secretary of State Ken Bennett. 20 minutes past the hour, our certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman, with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Right now, Shelley has a smile going one way and one way down, sort of a flat smile, and that reflects the stock market today. The second half of the hour features the head of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Leah Marquez Peterson. Then we'll wrap up things with our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report featuring Margaret Regan, arts editor of the Tucson Weekly. And we're happy that Margaret is also one of the two dozen or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Well, a new World War II memorial outside Arizona's capital is becoming closer to reality as volunteers refurbish the gun barrels that once graced the USS Arizona and the USS Missouri battleships. The memorial is to be dedicated December 7th, commemorating the 72nd anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix is Secretary of State Ken Bennett, who spearheaded the effort to bring the guns here from the East Coast shipyards. Secretary of State Bennett, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well, and I think this is a very commendable effort, and you're to be thanked. And how did the whole thing begin, anyway, to get this memorial going?
It started with a gentleman that used to work in the Arizona House of Representatives. When I was in the state Senate, was president of the Senate, we knew each other a little bit, but he showed up in my office about 2 years ago. Now I'm the Secretary of State, and he, I think he's an attorney around town and does a variety of things, but he showed up in my office about 2 years ago and asked if I knew that the Navy had one remaining gun barrel from the battleship Arizona. I did not know that, and then his second question is what really got me. He asked if I would be willing to take the lead on behalf of the state of Arizona to see if the Navy would give us that barrel, and we could maybe put it out in the Capitol Mall area next to the anchor that we have from the ship and the very tip-top masthead that carried the flags on the top of the ship. And sounded like a great idea to me. I was always kind of a World War II history buff back in junior high and high school. And so that began a process of I called the Navy, which is a very interesting prospect. It's a big organization, but I finally got a hold of the director of inactive ships. Yes, they have a department of inactive ships, and confirmed that they did, in fact, have one gun barrel left from the Arizona, and asked if they would give it to Arizona, and the first answer was no, but they offered me one from the Missouri, the battleship Missouri. They had seven of those. Mm. And when I reminded them that I was from Arizona, and then the thought occurred to me to ask for one of each. And so I proposed the idea to the gentleman that if they would give us the Arizona barrel and one of the Missouri barrels, we would restore the guns and put them out there kind of as, and the thought occurred to me somehow, the bookends of the war. The Arizona barrel would represent the beginning of the war, the Arizona being sunk at Pearl Harbor. And then the Missouri barrel would represent the end of the war, since that's where the Japanese signed the surrender documents on its deck in Tokyo Harbor in 45. So, and he got all excited about that idea. That, in fact, he said, "Ooh, you're thinking big now. I like big thinking." So, with all due respect to the Navy and our federal government, maybe that's why we have a $17 trillion national debt. If you ask, for one something, the answer was no, but I asked for two, and the answer was yes.
Now, the Arizona gun barrel, this is an interesting story. That was not at, that was being refurbished at the time of the attack, so it was not on the ship.
Correct. It was, yeah. It, after you fired so many shells through each barrel, they had to be shipped back to the East Coast, and there was a liner inside the barrel that had to be replaced. And so this had been removed from the ship just prior to the attack, and so it was not put back on the ship, of course. It was actually used on the Nevada, which was another Pennsylvania-class battleship. It was used on the Nevada at D-Day, so it has quite a history, this barrel itself. And then it was taken off of the Nevada when the Nevada was sunk by some atomic bombs that they were testing and things like that.
Yeah, I think that was at Bikini Atoll in the early
Bikini
50s.
Bikini Atoll is tested, you know, how many nuclear bombs did it take to sink a battleship or something. So the Nevada is on the bottom of the ocean, but this one barrel that was on the Arizona for many years and was also on the Nevada for a couple of years was back in a storage yard in Northern Virginia. And now it's in Arizona, along with one of the barrels that was actually on the USS Missouri when the Japanese surrendered. So we have these two barrels. The Arizona barrel is 54 feet long and weighs 70 tons.
Mm.
The Missouri barrel is 68 feet long and weighs 140 tons, one barrel.
Wow. 2,000. I was going to say 2,000 Arizonans died serving our country during World War II. They will be remembered on this memorial. I have a rendering of it in front of me. It's very impressive. Kind of has a feeling of a Vietnam memorial, except, you know, with the guns, the bookends, as you say, but the way the names will all be depicted, it's very impressive.
Thank you. What started out is just trying to get these artifacts, you know, one of the guns. When we realized that we could have both guns, then an architectural firm in Phoenix that was helping us design the whole thing came up with a brilliant idea. Instead of honoring the guns, we really want to honor the servicemen in all branches of the military who were from Arizona and gave the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives during their World War II service. So, as you have described, in between the two gun barrels will be nine steel sculptures or kind of pillars that bow out at the top. So it kind of looks like the bow of a ship maybe kind of coming out from the ground. And on those nine pillars, the nine pillars representing the 9 minutes that it took the Arizona to go down, but on the nine pillars will be about 2,000 individual nameplates, stainless steel nameplates with the individual name, kind of like the Vietnam Memorial, of the Arizonans who died in World War II, and they will each be individually recognized there, and that, of course, will really become the theme, is honoring the people, not the gun barrels themselves.
And private funds covering all of this, and a lot of volunteers have...
We've been raising private donations and funds, not using any tax dollars. Several companies, the Rotary Clubs around the state of Arizona, have been a huge partner with us. BNSF Railroad paid to haul the guns out on the railroad cars all the way across the country. Shuff Steel and the company that SDB Contracting that built the Southern Arizona Veterans Home there in Tucson.
Been a lot of folks
helping.
We've got
lots of companies that have stepped up, and we're still taking contributions all the way down to a $125 contribution. An individual or a family can have their name or a message in honor of a family member that died in the war on a brick that'll be on the ground. So there'll be $125 options. There's $500 options, and all the way up. So there's a website, Guns to Salute the Fallen, all spelled out, guns to salute the fallen www.thegreatmemorial.com. And anyone who wants to help us complete the memorial, and as you mentioned, we're headed for a dedication hopefully on December 7th of this year.
Let's see if we can work in a couple of political questions here, Secretary of State Bennett. We had one of the numerous candidates interested in running for governor, State Senator Al Melvin, was on the show yesterday. You have an exploratory committee, too. What would your platform be if you do decide to run?
My platform, the number one thing, Bill, is going to be economic development. We've got to get the economy of Arizona growing and recovering much faster than it is right now. So my top three priorities are going to be jobs, jobs, and jobs. In addition to that, of course, we're going to focus on financial responsibility, education, improving our education system, dealing with issues, public safety, and I want Arizona to be the most prosperous, the best educated, the safest, cleanest, and healthiest state in the country.
Doug Ducey is going to be with us tomorrow, the state treasurer, and I know you're a very good friend of Doug's. He's thinking about running, too, but has not formed the exploratory committee. Do you think he may just bow say, go ahead, Ken, I'm not going to be in it, or you two going to work it out, or what?
Well, I would love to be running with Doug, or maybe even one of the other candidates that's thinking about the governor's office, because I'm term-limited as Secretary of State. The Secretary of State's office will be open. Doug's in his first term as the state treasurer. If he leaves that would open that, and so It's all up to whoever ends up deciding to run. I don't know whether we'll have, you know, I'm sure there'll be more than one, but whether we'll have five or six, that'll be up to him and others like Al and whatever. So, but I really don't have much option as far as, you know, staying at the Secretary's office because I served the last 2 years of Governor Brewer's term as secretary when she moved up from secretary to take the governor's office. The way the state constitution reads is I and she are term limited from office. So I'm planning to run. If Doug runs, we'll have a good debate. I'm a big fan of his and he of me, so hopefully we can avoid having to run against each other, but that's, you never know. Might have to do that.
Thank you so much, Secretary of State Ken Bennett, for being with us. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you. Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. And Shelley, how are you today?
I am well. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. The market has been kind of flat today. However, it's doing the Dow Jones Industrial Average along with the S&P in record territory.
Yeah,
the Dow knocking at the door.
Absolutely. It's you know, when the market stops and takes a breather and stays flat, that's a good kind of breather.
Mm-hmm.
We're up, 12.5% on the Dow, and it, you know, almost or a little over 11 on the S&P. So it's just more of this continuing recovery and kind of push. It's almost as if the thing has an energy all its own.
And of course, the question, though, everyone's asking, is this market going to run out of steam? And when that running out of steam is often called in biz language, corrections.
Yeah, and the short answer to that question is, of course, there will be a correction. The question is how deep and when. And there's a lot in the stuff that I read now, because everybody is a little bit concerned about a slowly growing economy and a more rapidly growing market, and how long those things can stay, if not, you know, that's not exactly out of sync, but they're just, you know, not going at similar speeds. And so, you know, you'd think after 4 years of this tremendous bull run that at some point it's going to stop and slow down. And what the experts are saying is, you know, there's really four things that could prompt the market to say, whoa, stop, we're going to take another look at this. And while we do, you know, we'll see some volatility, but mostly on the downside. The first is Europe. You know, the European fundamentals are still very troublesome. Even though some of the countries in Northern Europe are doing better, there is still on the street, not in the banking sector, but on the street, there are some real problems. I mean, we learned last week that Spain's unemployment rate is, you know, over 25%. And in certain segments of their working force, they could be as high as 50%.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, you can't, I mean, what do you do with that kind of thing? There's a battle going on in Europe right now, the battle between more stimulus and more austerity. And those experiments, I think, are going to help us answer some questions in terms of what works in a crisis and what doesn't. The second thing is, you know, if our own data continues to be either lackluster or starts to disappoint, what we're having is every time data comes out, it seems to be a little bit less than what economists are expecting, but continuing to point in the right direction. We're seeing very good housing numbers. We're seeing very good consumer numbers, which is very interesting. But then again, unemployment remains doggedly high and that kind of stuff. Third and fourth are, you know, if the Fed begins to knee-jerk in ways that are not predictable, we're already, you know, hearing that the Fed is going to be very reluctant to continue to escalate their stimulus. But if they begin to start correcting and start, adjusting their balance sheet back, then that could signal the markets to slow down and take a look at themselves. And then, you know, the fourth is the stuff we don't know, the unknown unknowns. Mm-hmm. That's the, you know, Iran situation. It's Korea. It's stuff that you can't even think about, but
domestic
terrorism. Gosh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting article in Market Watch.
Yeah, Bill. And
I know you don't have a lot of time to get into
right.
this, but
But let's just tease people, because the headlines on the article is capitalism is killing our morals and our future.
Hmm.
Now, and this is Market Watch. This is the Wall Street Journal. So we're not talking about a pinko liberal rag
right.
here, you know, talking about less market is better. What this is saying is that we have become a market-based society, not just a market-based economy, that we expect, and a lot of this has to do with libertarianism, we expect market conduct to fix things that, you know, shouldn't be bought and sold. You know, we wouldn't buy and sell our kids. Should we be buying and selling our prisons? Should we be buying and selling medical care? So this comes at the problem of what is the social contract, and it comes at the problem from the flip side. In other words, the social contract asks the question, what should an economy be doing, and what role should government have in that economy? The flip side of that, and that's why I found it so interesting, is these guys are saying, hey, since the Reagan and revolution, we have opted more and more for allowing a market-based economy to determine what our society should be like. Maybe it's time to say what shouldn't be included in a market-based economy. And, you know, maybe next week we could take a little bit more time to talk about some of the things, but it's a fascinating way of looking at this whole problem of how our society should really structure itself, what should we allow kind of to run on its own with the faith that the market will correct itself? And what should we say, whoa, stop, we need more regulation, we need more government involvement? Interesting
questions.
And folks
can take a look at that online.
Yeah,
right?
On MarketWatch. It's right there. The article is by Paul Farrell. And
so just go to MarketWatch, and then that's right there for you.
And there'll be a test on it next week.
It's really something we probably need to dive into even a little deeper next week. Shelly Fishman, certified financial planner with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelly is with us here on the Buckmaster Show. every Tuesday at about 12:20, give or take a minute or so. Shelley, and what's the best way to reach you?
Just go to the BuckmasterShow.com website, push the button, you're connected to me, you send me an email, like right away, return the call, and that's the best way.
Okay, Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama is indicating that he would consider military action against Syria if it can be confirmed that the Assad regime has used chemical weapons. A California woman faces attempted murder charges after police say she tried to sneak orange juice bottles spiked with rubbing alcohol into a Starbucks. Police in San Jose arrested the woman late yesterday. Investigators have found a second body at the Southern California site where a small plane crashed after a mid-air collision with another small plane that managed to make a belly landing on a golf course. A jury in Philadelphia now considering murder charges in the trial of a doctor charged with killing four viable infants born alive. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 4 points, the Nasdaq ahead 15. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you. completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon here in Southern Arizona. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which will be the host city for the 18th annual Blues Festival Memorial Day weekend in Silver City. That's May 24th, 25th, and 26th. Silver City is just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, and there are plenty of great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Casitas de Gila guest houses. For more information about the upcoming Blues Festival, we strongly urge you to check out their very fine website, Southwest New Mexico, all spelled out, .org. Well, 1 week from today, the signature event for the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, it's the third annual Head Over Heels Southern Arizona Women's Business Conference. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber, Leah Marquez Peterson. Leah, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. I know you're very excited about your big event a week from today.
We are. It's our third annual. We're actually hosting the only women's business conference in Southern Arizona, so very excited about that. But even more excited and honored, really, to have Governor Susana Martinez of New Mexico as our keynote speaker.
And what will she be discussing?
You know, she's going to tell us more about her story, how she became governor, and then talk about the initiatives and the focus that New Mexico is focusing on. I think there are things that in Arizona we can certainly, we're having a lot of the same debate and things that we can learn from her.
Do you happen to know what she is focusing on over there in New Mexico?
I've heard a lot of talk certainly about international trade, and just like Arizona, the recovery of the economy. So finding things that perhaps are working for their state that we could learn or check out best practices on, I think will be great.
This is really, as you say, the only women's business conference in Southern Arizona, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of women's conferences, which I think are very well attended. We're trying to build something that's primarily for women business owners and women in business. So the conference includes a series of workshop tracks, has a business expo, ends with kind of a wine reception fashion show, and the highlight being the keynote speech, which this year again is Governor Martinez, and also a Latina business leader panel where we highlight very accomplished Latina business owners from our community.
Yeah, some of the workshop topics include beauty tips for the busy businesswoman. That's very important. Women and wealth, business etiquette, behaviors at work that can lead to success, motivating your employees for success, women business certification, women's health and business balance. What will the venue be for the event?
Yeah, Desert Diamond Casino Hotel has come in as our presenting sponsor. So it's the hotel that's on Nogales Highway. So it should be a wonderful venue to host our conference at.
And it's a one-day event?
It is. It starts about 10:30 for registration, concludes around 6. And I did want to mention that if people are interested in attending the luncheon-only portion, there are tickets that are sold separately just to come hear Governor Martinez speak. And I don't know if you'd heard, Bill, but it was pretty exciting to hear last week that Time Magazine had actually come out and named Governor Martinez as one of the 100 most influential people in the world.
Wow, I did not hear that about Governor Martinez.
Yeah, so honored that we had her on our schedule prior to, and that she's coming out to speak in Tucson. So this is really a special event for us in Southern Arizona.
You know, I noticed on your logo that Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, you now say Southern Arizona, and you're including Mexico, too. It's really becoming very important to you, isn't it?
It is. You know, we have tried to grow our chamber from a regional basis, so we are reaching out throughout Southern Arizona, including Cochise County and Santa Cruz County. And we have an office in Mexico. We're the only chamber in the state with an office in Mexico, and it's in Hermosillo. and we have staff there also. So we're trying to talk about and encourage people to think about the economic interdependence of Arizona and Sonora.
And whenever we talk to you on the show, we always want to point out that even though the name says Hispanic, the Tucson Hispanic Chamber is by no means limited to Hispanic people.
Absolutely. You do not have to be Hispanic or speak Spanish to participate in our chamber. It's really about reaching the fast-growing Hispanic market, understanding the demographic trends. And if you have an interest in your business doing work internationally or want to pursue trade, import, export, we can assist with that also.
Leah Marquez Peterson is the president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I know with the Mayor Rothschild was on the program a week or so ago, Leah, talking about really the importance of Mexico and this port of Guaymas and getting Tucson to be the major player in this corridor. It's really I'm sure that has to be very very heartening to you to see this really new emphasis that the city and county are putting on Mexico.
Absolutely, and we encourage and want to assist and be a resource in any way we can. We're hearing conversations like this not only in the city of Tucson and Pima County, but towns like Casa Grande, Sierra Vista, Marana, Favorita. A lot of different towns and cities and communities are talking about the importance of Mexico to our economic recovery.
How is the recovery going, in your opinion?
It's coming along slowly. I think it depends on the industry that you're looking at in particular. But we're trying to make sure that as the federal government, the state, the local government put together resources or programs to assist businesses, that we're out there communicating it to the business community. We found that most of the small businesses we work with are really trying to take that time to do outreach and networking and help focus on the revenue growth again. They spent the last several years focused on cutting expenses and being as lean as they need to be to survive the downturn, and a lot of them are focused on revenue growth. And we hope to be talking to them about this, you know, great opportunity in the Hispanic market and with Mexico, which is two areas that a lot of small businesses don't particularly focus on.
Okay, Leah Marquez Peterson, let's again go over this, the who, what, when, where, and why for the third annual Head Over Heels Southern Arizona Business Conference. Where should people get more information?
Great. They can go right to our website at TucsonHispanicChamber.org. They can register there for the full-day conference, or they can register just to attend the luncheon to hear Governor Susana Martinez of New Mexico speak. And this is next Tuesday, May 7th. When the conference runs from 10:30 in the morning till 6 in the evening, or just the lunch from 11:30 to 12:30.
That is at the Desert Diamond Casino Hotel on the South Nogales Highway. So should be a great event with Susana Martinez, the governor of New Mexico, being the keynote speaker. Leah, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. Leah Marquez Peterson, the president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, with us on the Buckmaster Show as we now push past 12:42 on this Tuesday afternoon. Upcoming, our every other Tuesday Arts Report with Margaret Regan. Margaret is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly, and she is one of two dozen or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show. The full list available at buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:46. It is time for our every other Tuesday Arts Report featuring Margaret Regan. Margaret is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly, and we are also delighted and honored that she is one of two dozen or so contributors to the Buckmaster Show. Margaret, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You were working very hard this week. You've got like a double art review coming up.
I always work hard, Bill.
I know you do. You're one of the hardest working people I know.
Yeah, well, I did. Well, it's interesting. I reviewed two galleries because there was a real link between the work and the two. One of them is at the Temple Gallery. I think I had mentioned this show earlier, but I finally got a chance to review it. Beautiful black and white lush abstract paintings by David Longwell, who is, it's nice to see him get the attention because he works behind the scenes at the Tucson Museum of Art. And here he comes out with these beautiful paintings. I had no idea he did that kind of stuff. Real thick, lush. And then, interestingly, they have sort of a corresponding artist at the show, Simon Donovan, famous for the Snake Bridge. And he does these big, jagged, lightning sculptural pieces, which are hung in between the paintings. And they kind of reminded me of, like, thunderstorms in the paintings and lightning in the sculptures. So that was fun. And then over at Davis Dominguez, Catherine Jostin, another Tucson artist, did these enormous, mostly black paintings that kind of convey the universe. And it sounds, you know, funny, but they're very sort of meditative and very engaging to sort of look in these giant black circles and see her little paintings of stars. And they're about time and infinity.
One of those shows is closing very soon, correct?
Yeah, that's Catherine's show. Well worth a visit over there. She's got the whole gallery, which is unusual for them. As an installation, she's got birds, you know, blackbirds hanging from the ceiling. She's got drawings of the moon and then these just enormous black paintings.
So that's the Davis Dominguez Gallery, that show closing this Saturday. But the
right. The
Donovan Longwell abstract paintings and sculpture at the Temple Gallery in downtown runs through June the 4th.
Right, so plenty of time still to see that.
Tucson Museum of Art has a big show coming up.
Yeah, well, this is not just a show. This is a new permanent installation at the Tucson Museum of Art of all their wonderful collection of Latin American art. You know, for a while they were out in one of those historical houses in the courtyard, and it really wasn't big enough for all the treasures that the TMA has. So they've been working on a renovation on the second floor of the museum. They moved their offices. Their offices were great up there. They had beautiful views. Well, now these spaces with beautiful views will hold their pre-Columbian art, their big collection of colonial paintings, and their interesting collection of Mexican folk art figures and paintings. And this is an interesting twist. There is a sort of a porch. I saw it when it was under construction. I haven't seen it all set up, but there is this second floor outdoor porch that you can go out onto, and that's going to be a sculpture garden.
Very nice.
So it's a huge step forward for the Tucson Museum of Art to have this great new thing. And it's going to open on Sunday afternoon, and it's totally free that day. Anybody can go in and you know, just take a gander at those new galleries. But they will be there permanently, which is exciting.
That sounds fun. That's going to be free to the public on Sunday, Cinco
right.
de appropriately enough, Cinco de
yes,
Mayo.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure they timed it that way.
maybe Ann and I will go there for our 41st wedding anniversary, which is Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, I didn't know that. Celebrating your heritage. Yeah. Huh?
So that will be a lot of fun on Sunday. How about theater? We've got Shakespeare.
Plenty of theater. This is fun. The Rogue Theater, which is a very serious small theater company, does a lot of the classics. They have an excellent new production of Richard III, and this is of interest topically because you may remember that Richard III, a real historical king from the late 15th century in England, his bones were found underneath a parking lot in Leicester last fall, and then DNA studies confirmed in February that they were, in fact, the bones of Richard III. So he was in the news recently. And this play about him, it's one of Shakespeare's most famous, of course. Shakespeare always portrayed Richard as a thoroughly evil villain, just a murderous guy who, you know, was a bad king and deserved to be usurped. But the thinking is possibly that since Shakespeare was writing in Tudor times, he wrote that very negative portrayal to flatter his current sponsors in the Tudor regime, because they're the ones who got rid of Richard. So this new discovery of his bones has sort of renewed his historical scholarship into which Richard is the right Richard.
And this is the Rogue Theater, and for our listeners who are not familiar with it, it is located where?
It's at the historic YWCA at University and Fifth, that whole complex. They have their very nice own little theater there.
And that production begins?
It's already started. It opened last weekend, and it's getting a good review in the weekly this week.
All right. Another play, a world premiere, this one, at something called the Winding Road, or put together by the Winding Road Theater Company.
Yeah, that's right. They're an ambitious little theater company in town. They've been around, I'd say, about 5 years, and they don't have their own home. So this year they're staging their plays at Beowulf Alley, which is a quite comfortable theater downtown. I think it's on 5th Avenue, or 6th. I guess it's 6th Avenue. Anyway, they are dedicated to doing premieres of new plays, and, you know, more power to them for a small company. And they have one up now. It opened last week, or 2 weeks ago, but it's going to be on for a couple more weeks. It's called Row After Row. And it keys into our anniversary memorials of the Civil War, you know, which, as you know, is about 150 years ago. The Battle of Gettysburg, I believe, was 1863. So this is about Civil War reenactors in the modern times, but I guess it brings in a lot of interesting stuff about past and present.
And that, again, that's the Beowulf Alley Theater.
Right.
And, again, there was a good review in the Tucson Weekly.
Yep. Promising. Needs work, but, you know, really interesting in a brand new play. So that's what you'd expect in a brand new play, that it will be revised somewhat as time goes on.
1253 on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret Regan is with us for our Every Other Tuesday Arts Report, which beginning in a couple of weeks will be sponsored. And we're very happy to have the Fox Theater. That's going to be, they'll be sponsoring Margaret's report. So, Margaret, we're very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Good news.
Music, 28th Annual Tucson Folk Festival.
Yes, and this is a major extravaganza. And by the way, it's taking place the same time, part of the same time as the Sunday afternoon opening at the Tucson Museum of Art. It's right downtown there at El Presidio Park, and in the Tucson Museum of Art Courtyard, and in the old Pima County Courthouse Courtyard, and in La Cocina Restaurant. So what they say on their website, they say 20 hours of free live music on five stages, all for free. So that's a pretty good deal. And, you know, it's a really fun event downtown. Of course, we have all of our wonderful folk foods.
Oh, yeah.
Always being sold down there. And, you know, there's just everything that you could think of. You know, old-fashioned, regular singer, songwriter music. The Tucson Balalaika Orchestra. Awan, which is an a cappella chorus that does sacred music. Shows for children, shows by young performers. There's a songwriting contest, which is always really fun, and then the winner of the contest gets to do a little performance. And then the evenings, Saturday night and Sunday night, there have their headliners, pretty well known. David Bromberg Quintet. You know, David Bromberg was hugely popular back in the day when I was in college, and he's still around. I guess he's a grand old man of acoustic blues now. He'll be performing Saturday.
Yeah, I do recall that name.
Yeah,
from,
yeah. I remember seeing him when I was in college, and I guess, you know, he's had this whole career. So anyway, he's, you know, considered a master of acoustic blues. And then Sunday night is a local guy, Stephen George, who also does blues guitar. He's one of Tucson's favorite guys, a best-loved singer-songwriter, they call him. And he'll be performing Sunday night with Lavinia White and Friends.
And that's the 28th annual Tucson Folk Festival. And it's this weekend at El Presidio Park, the plaza there at TMA. And so there's going to be, well, you said there were five stages, right?
That's what they're saying, five stages. You know, so you just walk around and you find, I think the big concerts, like the David Bromberg concert, I think, are in the El Presidio Park because they have a space for a good-sized stage in there.
Let's not shortchange literature.
Yeah. Now, this is looking forward to, not this weekend, but the following weekend. You know, Antigone Books, one of the few remaining independent bookstores in Tucson, does a wonderful job, you know, with these free readings. They're such great events and such a friendly and welcoming store. Two local women are going to be reading from their fiction on Friday night, May 17th. And one of them I know, Kimmy Isel, she's an interesting character because she is also a dancer with New Articulations Dance Theater, a dancer and choreographer, also a writer. And she's reading from her new novel, The Lightest Object in the Universe. So that will be interesting to see her jumping around from one thing. One genre to another, little genre jumping. And the other person is Frankie Rollins, who I actually did a reading with her myself a couple of years ago. She is another local author, and she has a well-received new book of short stories called The Sin Eater and Other Stories.
And the reading by the two Tucson authors will be Friday, May 17th, 7 o'clock in the evening. Antigone Books, one of the few locally owned Tucson bookstores remaining, 411 North 4th Avenue. The event is free. And Margaret, you and I both remember when we had quite a few locally owned bookstores.
I know. There were a lot of great bookstores. Yeah, there's still Clues Unlimited. Which is up near my part of town. It's at, Country Club in Fort Lowell. And they do mostly mystery, but they do other stuff, too. They, the owner of that place, a woman named Chris, she's very interested in Southwest literature, and she does a lot for local authors, too, and stages readings all the time. So it's nice to go out and support those local businesses.
And you are a local author. The name of your book, let our listeners know. Go ahead.
The Death of Joceline, Immigration Stories from the Arizona Borderlands. And I have to say, I've done readings both at Antigone Books and at Clues Unlimited. So I'm very grateful to them for what they've done for me.
Are you working on a sequel to that book?
Yes, I am. I have a contract for a new book.
Good.
Working title, Detained and Deported. So my first book was about the migrant journey and all the migrant deaths. This book is about people who are living here and how they can slip up at any time and find themselves in one of our many detention centers or deported across the line, separated from their families,
now in the U.S., and that's the case with a lot of people, especially a lot of them have U.S. citizen children, and they get separated from them.
Okay, Margaret Regan, it's always a pleasure on our every other Tuesday Arts Report here on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Margaret.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Culligan Water, we offer a bottle to each of our guests. They gladly accept. Our in-studio guests love the Culligan Water, and why wouldn't they? Culligan Water, it simply tastes better. Tomorrow we have a new segment starting on the show. We're excited about it. We're talking about medications. It's going to be a biomedical segment once a month with Dr. Ray Woosley. He was the founder of CPATH and the former dean of the UA College of Medicine. That's going to be our biomedical segment, and we will be glad to take all of our listeners' calls. If you have a particular question about medications, give us a call. Tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Special guest, City Councilman Paul Cunningham. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.